Thema Buhai, Freunde! Ihr hört den Podcast Tellerrand Perspektive reich werden durch Vielfalt mit mir, Mabel. Schön, dass ihr wieder eingeschaltet habt. Ich habe mir heute gedacht, weil draußen sehr regnerisch ist, dass ich heute einmal Tulung-Tag mache und ganz besonders heute. Ich habe es mir einfach gemütlich gemacht. Matulung-Tag bedeutet immer für mich ganz viel reden, sei es auf Matulung-Meetings, sei es mit anderen Sponsoren vielleicht, Spender und so on. Und heute möchte ich unseren Number One Ansprechpartner vor Ort auf den Philippinen anrufen, und zwar der Glenn Onya. Glenn ist so alt ungefähr wie ich. Wir sind zusammen aufgewachsen. By the way, er ist mein Cousin. Und er lebt tatsächlich immer noch in Tatalon, Quezon City. Also das ist so ein Slum-Area auf den Philippinen. Und er ist der Ansprechpartner für unsere Projekte in Quezon City. Er macht das wirklich sehr gut. Seit er 17 ist, engagiert er sich schon sehr für die Umwelt. Heute, glaube ich, arbeitet er als Business Management Society, aber gegen Plastik. Und ja, er wird sicherlich was davon erzählen. Jedenfalls, er ist ein sehr, sehr hilfsbereiter Mensch. Er kümmert sich auch ganz viel um seine Neffen und Nichten und bringt die in die Schule, finanziert die Schule echt toll. Wirklich ein Vorbild für mich, weil er einfach Dinge macht, die er wirklich liebt und auch irgendwie das lebt, was er wirklich, wirklich erreichen möchte im Leben, was er werden möchte. Und Armut ist kein Hindernis. Das sagt er auch immer sehr oft zu mir. Naja, jedenfalls, ich versuche jetzt einfach mein Glück und rufe ihn jetzt mal an. Ganz spontan. Ich bin ein bisschen nervös, weil ich normalerweise mit ihm in Tagalog spreche. Ich spreche jetzt Deutsch und werde jetzt versuchen, mit ihm Englisch zu sprechen. Es ist ein bisschen complicated, weil ich gleichzeitig in drei Sprachen irgendwie denke. Ich weiß nicht, ob ihr mich da verstehen könnt, aber es ist so kompliziert. Es ist so manchmal dieses Switch-on, Switch-off. Manchmal anstrengend, aber sehr spannend. Mal gucken. Also, seid gespannt und ja, ich rufe ihn jetzt mal an. Hello, Glenn. ¿Cómo está, Rana?
Yes, I'm good. Hello, Belle.
Hi. So, I came to this idea and I just wanted to have a conversation with you. Thank you for your time.
Yes, it's my pleasure.
How are you so far?
It's really hard and struggling, but at the same time, it's quite good. I still have work. I can eat 3 times a day.
You're grateful for that. For that what you have.
Yes, indeed.
So where do you work? Where's your work?
I'm working as a branch associate for a social enterprise called Plastic Bank. So Plastic Bank is a social enterprise that deals with ocean-bound plastic.
Wow.
So we help the ocean to remove the plastic because Philippines is the number 3 in the whole world that's contributed a lot of plastic in the ocean. So our task is to help our community and the ocean to less plastics.
Oh, wow.
So my main work at Plastic Bank is all to coordinate with junk shops or shops that collects plastics, boxes, yeah. PET bottles, make another or an additional profit for the junk shop owners and the collectors as well.
Why is this important for the community, your work?
Yeah, because first of all, it helps the environment, less the pollution, and secondly, we help small junk shop owners, collectors, and sorters of garbage, plastics, to make them additional profit or additional income for them. That's the main goal of my work.
Okay. So before we get started, Glenn, share your story or just introduce yourself first.
Of course.
Who are you?
I grew up in the slums of Barangay Tatalon.
Yeah.
It's Prattling Squatters area in Metro Manila. So I came from a broken family, but despite that, I'm still striving to have a quality and good life in the Philippines. So I want to encourage and inspire my fellow Filipino that poverty is not a hindrance and dreaming big for your family, and dreaming big for yourself, and dreaming big for the community. And I believe that if you work hand in hand together, you can build a community with peace and harmoniously. So I work for different NGOs and social enterprises in the Philippines to promote my passion as well, to help my fellow men. And I believe in this mantra that less for self, more for others, and enough for all. So I want to promote equality, even though I'm living in the slum area, but
you're still living there.
Yes, I live in Barangay Tataloy.
Okay.
In Quezon City.
You know what? You're a really role model to me, because you are raising your, I think, nephews and nieces, and by your own while working.
I consider myself as a breadwinner.
Wow.
I'm not that eldest, but I'm the little child. But unfortunately, the ones who help us on the upper hand. So I'm the upper hand now. So I have the capability to help my family, to help my siblings go to school, and that's it. So it's not a struggle. I think it's a challenge for me.
Yeah.
That despite I didn't even finish college as well, that's enough that I have this opportunity and platform to do my passion, to help my fellow men.
Oh, wow.
In a small way.
Wow. Thank you for your social impact, actually.
Yes.
I used to live there as well, in Barangay Tatalong, Quezon City. So
can we reveal that we're cousins?
Yeah, we are cousins. Yeah. That's right. And he's also at the same age. You are also at the same age as me, right?
Yeah.
And since
we grew up together when we were children.
Yeah, we grew up, and since then we have not so much contact, but through our community projects we are getting together again, and I'm so happy about that.
Because you opportunity from other partners really struck me that when you are in end of the a part of the world, you're in Germany or in the Philippines, but through helping and inspiring people, we all just connected.
Wow, yeah, that's true. That's that's my passion. And I couldn't forget that, where I come from, or where I came from. Mm-hmm. And that's very important to me. So I wish this podcast, guys, will give you a spiritual trip to the Philippines. We want to give you another point of view or another way of thinking. I think many of us here in Germany are tired under these conditions caused by this pandemic. But let me please invite you to put yourself in the life of others, like Glenn, on the other side of our planet in the Philippines. So, yeah. So, Glenn.
Yes.
How was the situation, and do you still have a strict lockdown?
Last year, we started the lockdown, the National Capital Region lockdown, in March of 2020. So that was the extreme lockdowns in the metro. But during the year, they loosen up. They have just a minimum health protocols. But since this year, since the pandemic rates, the positive cases going high instead of going down, because we're facilitating vaccines. So the government decided to bring back the enhanced community lockdown in the Philippines and the national in NCR and the Metro Manila. So we have ECQ from March 29 to April 15.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then they lifted it to from ECQ, enhanced community quarantine, to MECQ, modified community quarantine. So it's a bit lifted minimum health protocols, but still we have curfews. 5 a.m. You have to be at home by 6 p.m. in the evening. So it really affects Filipinos who are working late. All the fast foods, all the industries must have to close earlier because we have curfews. So our economy is really fluctuating.
Let's talk about the education right now. The children have a lack of education anyway. And now, how does homeschooling work for the children in the slums and in the slums areas?
Online learning is not new to us in the Philippines, but online that platform is for the privileged ones who have money to pay for online classes. Since pandemic hits the Philippines, we transcribe or we transferred our schooling to online classes. So this it's very new to us in the public schools.
Yeah.
Because we get used to face-to-face classes. But since we have pandemic and we have to abide by the health protocols, so up until now, from public elementary school to college, it's still online classes. So I think it's really hard for some public schools to implement such such cooling strategies because it's new to us. But then again, we have to move forward. We have to adapt to changes. So I think kids and youths here in the Philippines are slowly adapting to it because I think this kind of schooling may take long time enough to bring back from face-to-face classes. So it's hard, but I think, you know what Filipino was, we are resilient. Yeah. We always do something to ease our problems and our challenges. We have ways.
Yes.
So that's in the schooling. I think children in the Philippines are slowly adapting to online classes.
Okay. So I can imagine that the pupils don't even have any gadgets for their online classes. Yeah, I can really imagine. So how do the Filipino deal with the situation?
There's a family of 12, but unfortunately they don't have the financial capability to buy tablets or smartphones for their children. So instead of finding budget or financial assistance to buy for such smart tablets or cell phones, the children was forced to stop from schooling. Because they don't have gadgets to use for online classes. But I think the government is working enough to provide tablets for public schools.
Yeah.
I think they spearheaded that project last year. Once you enroll in a public school, I think the government will provide tablets or smartphones for the children, for them to enroll and start their classes for online. It's a small step for the government in education, but it really helps.
Are you supported by the government with a little help?
A bit. But you don't have to get your feet on them. So you have to work hard for what you believe or what you need.
Yeah. So what's the big problem in the Philippines? Why the country needs help from us, like we, Matulong Hilfreich? What do you think is a sustainable help for the Filipinos there?
The number one problem in the Philippines is poverty and lack of education for children.
Yeah.
It's like a cycle. If once children doesn't finish schooling, they end up having families at the early ages and they don't have good and quality jobs. So the cycle of poverty is on there. It's repeating itself.
So how we can break that cycle? How we can break through the cycle?
As Catriona Gray says, our Miss Universe, you have to inspire children to finish their studies, even though it's in lack in financial, but by inspiring them that education is really the best key to end poverty.
Yeah.
By implementing programs for them. You can just impose children to study. You have to inspire them in any way possible. So by programs, by promoting sports, by promoting arts for them, to inspire them to studies, to continue study, their studies. Yeah. So that I think that was the key to end the cycle. You have to inspire the children. That schooling and studying is the best option for them to end their cycle of poverty in the family.
Wow. So do you think that there will be more poverty after this pandemic?
Yeah, based on the data that I read in the article, employment rate is really fluctuating. So many Filipinos lost their jobs because in this pandemic. So I think the economy in the Philippines is not good because of employment rate.
Yeah.
So I think poverty really hits us this pandemic.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think so. So how we could help and how we could stick together stronger, Glenn? What do you think?
You know, matulong, it's really helped that their project really inspire our fellow communities here that there's a help. There's always a help. God will always provide the help for them.
Yeah.
They have to stand for their what they believe in or what they want to achieve in the future. So for Matulong, I think program-wise, training formations, building dignity for the community is really the big help that the organization can reach throughout in the Philippines. So I think the best way to do it is to inspire one, then that other one will inspire another one. For example, you help me, through me, I can help some peoples in the community. So I want to expose them that that help is not sustainable. So I want them to inspire that they have to stand for on their own feet to help each other.
Well, yeah. Actually, my adoptive parents also inspired me to help others. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm now here and a founder of an NGO.
Yeah, you're the living legacy that... You're the living testament, brother.
Yeah, that's true.
Poverty is not a hindrance. If you want to dream big, if you have the opportunity, then take it.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Thank you so much for describing how you feel and describing about this situation. I'm not saying that we here in Germany are not suffering under these conditions, but I think this is a chance to discover ourselves, to learn ourselves better and how to deal with these new problems. Yeah, and we are living in this world, 21st century, where lots of things are growing, changing. This is ongoing pursuit of innovation. And special here, we do have things that we have to thankful for, but we just forget it in our daily lives. So yes. I want to bring our listeners in other point of view to appreciate things, to show them that many people are trying to survive. Try to find a way to get something to eat. So thank you very much, Glenn. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Belle.
And I wish we could see each other sooner.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And bye. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.